God's word is our confession. God's word is our confession. Think so often we read our Bibles in the light of being taught God's word, understanding doctrine, and all of that has its place and indeed is important. But I'm not sure that we're always of the right mindset that God's word is not only to be learnt and assimilated, but it's also to be confessed. The word of God is absolutely clear that our confession as believers in Christ must line up and agree with God's word. To confess contrary to God's word means that God will not only hear it, but he won't bless it. And for God to bless his word in our lives, he must hear it. And also the powers of darkness must hear it as well. And this, of course, is why the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been controversial right down through the ages. Satan doesn't like God's word being preached, being taught, and we have seen the oppositions where the enemy has attacked the word of God. You only have to read church history to see that. And the reason why he attacks in the way that he does is because he doesn't want you believing, agreeing with it, and confessing it. Now, he won't touch you much if you just are a student or a theologian who simply studies the Word of God and reads it very much like a textbook. But where you will find opposition is when you read the Word of God and you believe and you pray it to your heart. There you will find the enemy, the powers of darkness, does not like that. Why? Because you are confessing, you are speaking out God's word, the power of God's word. And this is where he tries to attack us. And he will try in a number of ways. He will try to distract us. He will try to bring us down. Mission. He will try to confuse us. He will try to take our eyes away from God's word and God's promises in order that we don't confess it and use it. Now, we might not always be aware of that the way I have put it, but there are just some of the ways the powers of darkness work and attack to stop us confessing God's word. And I'm going to give illustrations of this, how he works, and I trust that this evening we may find that we will close doors with regard to our confession where maybe we have been compromising or faltering or where we have been confused. One of the things that we know is that when the Word of God is taught to us under the unction of the anointing, He also comes to us with healing and deliverance. And that is why we always believe that the Word of God that goes forth to heal body, soul, and spirit. The word of God is to the whole man. The same as salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is to the whole man. Mind, body, and spirit. It is a complete whole work. Well, bearing that in mind, and remembering the title this evening, what we're calling this word, God's Word is our confession. Let's first look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. And I'm taking this because this is where Jesus was led into the wilderness and tempted for 40 years, 40 days. And in his temptation, we see he overcomes the powers of darkness by his confession. Not just believing in his heavenly Father, but he also overcomes in his confession. And I'm going to take up the confession which he says to the enemy in verse 4. And he says here, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, what he is saying is, I don't live by bread only, but my living, my overcoming, is by the word of God. How do we know this? Because Jesus said, I speak that only which the Father reveals. So Jesus' confession in his earthly life was completely in harmony with God's word. It wasn't deviated, altered in any way. He spoke in complete agreement with God's word. And Satan knew that, what he said there to him. And of course we know that he carries on, and eventually Satan leaves for a season. Now that is a great lesson for us to learn with regard to God's word and God's promises. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to come to this place of faith and maturity where our confession over whatever situation lines up with God's word. And this is very important for us to overcome, as Jesus overcame Satan in the wilderness, so we overcome in the same manner, in the same way as he did, so do we. When the enemy comes and assaults us, when he comes to challenge God's word, and he wants to affect your confession so that it doesn't line up with God's word, and he has then a hold over you. He has you fettered. He holds you in unbelief and in confusion. This is why we are getting delivered. This is why we are getting set free by the word of God. And our confession is paramount with regard to this. Now, we also see in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 that God says the same to Israel. In like manner, he says in Deuteronomy verse chapter 8 and verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That is what God was wanting to do with Israel. But Israel, being rebellious, stiff-necked, they could not look beyond their needs. And of course, he fed the manna because they were complaining. But he's trying to show that there is a spiritual manna that is more needful for their lives. Because this was going to be their faith, their believing, their trusting God. And that principle does not change even today under the new covenant. There are many who profess that they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are not understanding the Word of God under the anointing, what it's really to do with our lives. It's to bring our faith, our confession, in line, in agreement with God, His Word. There are many who can cite the Word of God. There are some who can even say from memory, probably a gospel. But that is not what we're on about. We're on about the Word of God that falls at 18 inches from the head to the heart. It is the Word that is within our being. It is a part of us. It is what I believe. It's what I confess. It's what I hear my Heavenly Father says. This is all part of our relationship with God, as Jesus had. So God is teaching that His Word is much more than just promises, feeding, material things, all those things that He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Why do you think He has said that? Because He's trying to show that His Word and the promises of His Word, our faith, goes beyond our material needs, which He says, I will provide. Don't take thought of it. In actual fact, God is releasing us from those everyday mundane things, those things that the world out there gets concerned and worried and anxious about. He says you are free from that in order that you might start confessing greater things that is in my word. But we will never confess greater things in God's word unless the self-life is dealt with. And that is why we hold to the cross, that we too are crucified with Christ daily, which is a tremendous liberty, release, and freedom to be able to embrace these deeper truths and promises to be found in the Word of God. What does Psalm 19, verses 12 to 14 tell us? Psalm 19 and verses 12 to 14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The psalmist is calling out to God to be cleansed, from secret faults, from sinning. Take a hold, in other words, Lord, of my life. Let the weaknesses in my life, don't let them have dominion. He then sees what being delivered, set free, will do. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In other words, this unbelief, this hardness of heart, these sins, they affect my confession. He has seen it, and he's asking for deliverance, for change. He wants his words to line up with the word of God, because the enemy is working here. Do you identify with it? Of course you do. We all do. And this begins to show us how our confession can start to change, so that it lines up with God's word. You see, the heart and the mouth are connected. What is ever in the heart, the mouth will speak eventually. So if there is unbelief, you will speak it. If there is unforgiveness, bitterness, it will come out. You will speak it. Whatever the problem is that isn't to God's standard will eventually come out. It will be confessed. It will be said. So the heart, the mouth, are very much connected, as we know. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, says the scriptures. So in salvation, God has given us his word, that is Jesus. We know this in the Gospel of John. In 1 it opens up, the word became flesh, the living logos. He is the word to us. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive also his word, the revelation of his word, from Genesis to Revelation. That is what we also receive in our salvation. In other words, you now, through the new birth, through redemption, you now have access in hearing to the promises of God's word. You have now been given access, priority, has worked your heart, your ears, so that you can now receive and hear the word of God, not in the flesh, in the law of the letter, but in the spirit, by faith. For we know that faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. That is the access you have been given by the Spirit. And it is for a purpose and for a reason. You're probably already beginning to understand what it's for. This is why Romans 10 speaks about our confession. We line our confession with God's word. These are all signs that you are born again, not of flesh, but of the Spirit of God. These are the signs. So the world out there will know if you are God's people, because they hear the words out of your mouth different from the words that they speak and what the world speaks. And yet so many professing believers still speak like the world and act like the world. And the only way you will get delivered, changed from this, is to do what the psalmist did back in Psalm 19 that we read. That is the only way. When we bring this before God and we repent of so much, at times what we confess, what we say, is just like what the world is saying. And we shouldn't be. Jesus wasn't. This is why they heard him as a man who spoke with authority. They saw something. He didn't speak like the world. He didn't believe like the world of the time that he lived in. Far from it. And that is what the Lord wants to do with us. And so we have now access to God's word, because we have received Christ, we receive his word. You can't separate any of it. And we have access to hearing it, just like we're hearing it this evening. But it depends how we hear this. That is the question. Else the word of God will not do that work that he wants to do in and through our lives. To use God's word, he gives his word to us so that it is for teaching and for correction. We have the word of God also to test and discern what is right and what is wrong, what is heresy. We're also given his word to offer God's word back to him in our faith and our believing. So this is just some of the ways in which he gives us his word. He gives us his word in order to teach us, to correct us, just like what he's doing this evening. He gives us his word so that we can hold on to the purity of his word, to the doctrines which are essential. For we know that many are compromising on his word. Many are deviating, twisting it, altering it. We know that also by the many other versions that come out of the Bible today. Most of them, sadly, are perversions of God's word. Why is Satan attacking like this? Because he doesn't want you confessing, harmonizing, agreeing with God's confession. And that is where he's attacking. And I believe he's very much at the moment attacking in this area, in lives. And we'll see why later on. So we have access to this for our teaching, for correction, exhortation, to test, to discern, to test the spirits. But also we have God's word to offer back to him in believing, in faith. And he said all that is needed in belief is just a mustard seed of faith. In other words, that faith, that mustard seed, is in complete harmony and agreement with my will. That is what it is. That is what it means. So God gives us his word to believe. He gives us his word in which we can use his word in our prayers, our intercessions, our supplications. So the word of God is given to us in order that we give it back to him, in order for him to be glorified. This is why he says in Isaiah, my words be void, but will go forth and accomplish that wherewith I send it to. So you're agreeing with God's word, the Holy Spirit that is teaching you the word of God. You bring forth in your prayers, your supplications, you bring forth God's word, which you agree with, in order that his word will go forth and accomplish that wherewith it is to be sent to, in whatever situation. This is how Jesus lived in his earthly life. That's how he walked. He only said and done what the Father revealed. This is why, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. It comes by the Spirit of God. And yet we still want to listen to man. We still want to go to the arm of the flesh. We want to listen to that logic that still appeals to our minds. The Word of God never will appeal to your mind and your logic. Don't even look for it. That's not what it's for. The Word of God is to appeal to the inner man, to the heart. You as a new creation. It is food, it's sustenance, it is strength, it's power, it's might. Then the mind, the heart, can be quickened by it. Because it's coming from within. It is coming from the anointing. But Satan wants you to go out and get your knowledge. That's how he works. And God doesn't work that way. God brings it to you. God speaks to you. The same as he did to Jesus, the same today, through the Holy Spirit. That is how he works. And that is why we may wait on God for him to speak. If you are a preacher and teacher, you have to learn to wait on God and go before God and meditate, intercede, pray in the Spirit as the Lord brings his word to you. I have had to learn that over the years. And believe me, I'm still learning it. And it's no blueprint for the way God can bring his word in which I'm to preach and teach to you is diverse. I started to follow a pattern years back, and God soon put an end to that. I will bring it to you. And the way he brings it to me can be diverse. I don't even try and work it out. It just comes. That is how he brings it. And that is how he will bring it to you. You see? But the powers of darkness don't work that way. They get you to become inquisitive and to find out and to work it out for yourself. You see? And there's the difference. God never blesses when we go and depend upon the arm of the flesh. He does not bless it. He uses it. We know that. Romans 8:1 tells us so. He uses all these things, but he's using it to work deliverance in you. So that your mind, your heart, your actions, and above all, your confession lines up with God's word. That is what he's doing, and he will do. We know scripture very, very well, and we'll turn to it in Mark 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, this is the disciples, and to us, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because they need to hear in order to believe and confess their confession in agreement with God. So there we are. There's the first requirement. And he who believes, in other words, he who is believing, confessing my word, and is baptized, will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not by any means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. That is what God says. And of course, We all have heard teachers who try to put a but on it. Well, it's not for today. It was then for those disciples. It was for the early church. God is moving today in a different way. We know we've heard it all. But it doesn't say that. That's the point. It is to disciples, believers. It is to us. It is new as when it was given forth, as it is now, today, this moment. It doesn't change. What God is doing is getting us to believe it. That is what he's doing. You see, the tests of our faith, our confession, is to be found in the everyday life and world and living. It's not to be found now in this meeting, because we're all in agreement, we're all amen and so forth, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is good, that is praising God. But the test of this is to be found in our everyday living, when we depart and we go out into that world. That is the test of whether I'm truly believing and confessing God's word and his promises. That is the test. It's in the everyday living. Now, what is the warning that we have with regard to all of this? Well, let's turn to the book of James. The book of James. And we're looking at chapter 3 of James, chapter 3 and verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Does not a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So, what is coming out there? What is he saying? He is talking about the tongue, confession. The tongue has also to be tamed in order for us to confess, and our confession to line up with God's word. He's going to the root of the problem. He's saying, how can you call yourself a believer when you still hate your brother or your sister? Or you're always argumentative or falling out with people, or whatever it would be. How can you say what you are and yet what comes out of your mouth? And he's getting to the root of the problem. We so often confess those things that are not in alignment with God's word. As I was preparing this, the Lord quickened to me and showed me that the tongue and what we say is like a spiritual thermometer. The tongue actually gives a spiritual temperature. The same as a thermometer is used. If there is a high temperature, it will tell us what the temperature roughly is. It will show whether there is infection or whatever it would be or not. So, likewise, the tongue is that spiritual thermometer. And it's trying to tell you that the reading is not correct as it should be. The temperature spiritually is high, very high. And you need to do something about this. Because you are confessing over your life all sorts of things. My heart, I have angina, or my cancer, or whatever it will be. How often do you hear people saying, my problem? I know we've heard this before, but we still hear it coming out of our mouths, even in this assembly. Well, you are at that point confessing that that belongs to you, and that is why you are having problems. Because you haven't yet been fully persuaded by God's confession, His word, over these sicknesses and diseases. And we know that this has caused a lot of problems over the years. There are a lot of Christians get quite angry over when we start to talk about this. They like to use such things as, you're just using auto-suggestion. Well, if that's what they think and believe, that is sad. But we are confessing what God's word says over our lives, particularly in the area of our health. And so God tests us. He allows us to go out in the world. He allows us to be tried and tested to see whether we are still believing and whether it's still in the heart. Remember, I read to you back what James speaks about, the tongue, the sinning of the tongue. Is it not a sin when you confess opposite to what says in his word and what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary? Is that not sin at that moment coming out of the mouth? I'll leave that for you to decide. If you believe that, then you're agreeing with the psalmist in Psalm 19, because that's what the psalmist was praying about. Cleanse me from all of this. My confession is still like the world. Confessing, believing what they're believing. Either we are overcomers, first fruits unto the Lord in these last days, set apart unto him, or not. You have to decide on these things. You see, the tongue, the confession, should be our priority, to confess God's word in many situations. When it looks hopeless, when it looks as though it's too late, we still confess what the Lord says. And how often did we see our Lord confessing against obstacles, against situations? He continued to confess and believe what his Heavenly Father was showing him. The problem is, we're still not influenced. We're still not persuaded yet. We still don't believe enough in God's word and his promises. But if we stay with it, and we walk humbly before him and confess when the negative comes out of our mouth and confess it as sin, God will change these confessions that they line up with God's word. He will do it, for it's not by might nor by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Only God at the end of the day can do it, and indeed he will. So it should be our priority here as we seek God. You see, the tongue is a believer's spiritual thermometer. It's telling you what your spiritual temperature is. And that's why spiritually we're taking our temperatures this evening through this teaching. Because we're going to find out what our temperature is. And I am still of the opinion it's pretty high. And it has need of coming down. And the only way it will start to come down is when we listen to what comes out of our mouth. And when you find things negative that do not line up with God's word coming out of your mouth, deal with it immediately. Bring it before God. Confess it before your Heavenly Father. Don't leave it. Because if you leave these wrong confessions, they start to take root. And that is the problem. I believe Job had insight to all of this. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Job. Job chapter 9. And verse 20, Job chapter 9 and verse 20. Though I were righteous, mine own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. Now, in many ways, he's just being honest. He's aware that his confession, or if he were to say certain things, it wouldn't really be true. He's aware what is in his heart, what is going on. The others, his comforters and his wife, they didn't understand it at all. They condemned him. They weren't understanding what was happening to Job. But Job, there is an honesty there. And I believe that that is the principle where we start with how our confession can change. Lord, I am not always confessing what your word says, whether it be over my health, my situation, my family, in my prayers or intercessions, or when I'm talking to people in the street, it's not always as it should be. Help me, deliver me, change me. You see? That sort of heart and attitude, God can work and will work. And this is very essential for us to have that spirit, that teachableness, so that we can change in these areas. Because the enemy does not want us, he doesn't want our confession lining up with God's word. He wants you to confess things differently. He wants you to confess your weaknesses. He wants you to confess those mountains that still scare you. He wants you to confess your fears, problems that you have with the Word of God, or whatever it would be. He wants you to confess those things instead of letting them go and confessing what the Word of God says. Israel was kept out from entering the Promised Land Because she confessed before God, wished to God we were back in Egypt. And God gave them what they confessed in rebellion before Moses. And they all perished in the wilderness. That was what was in their hearts. And God will hand over, will hand you over to your confession, your unbelief, if you have no desire to change. This is why we make so much with regard to faith, confession, believing. It's absolutely vital for us to make it in the last days. It's essential. Psalm 139 says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle. In other words, I've asked God to place over my mouth a bridle. In other words, like when it's placed on a horse or whatever, it's for guidance, direction. So our confession lining up with God's word is paramount to God leading us and guiding us and directing us on the right course. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. And here, the prophet is prophesying the blindness and disobedience of Israel. And we take it up in verse 13. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. So here we see that Israel is trying to confess, trying to say the right thing, but she's doing it because she goes to man. We know this because it says, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. In other words, they're listening to man, listening to the world, and what the world has to say. They're influenced by the world, and they fear that instead of fearing me. That is a huge problem in the house of God today. Many only give lip service, but it is a confession that will not last. And when those real trials come in, which they do, then what is in the heart will speak out, the same as what spoke out with Israel. When Israel was really tested in the wilderness, then you really heard what was in her heart confessing, coming out. And that's what caused them to perish in the wilderness. That is why this is so important, brothers and sisters. What comes out of our mouth? Matthew 6 and 48, as I bring this now to conclusion. Matthew 6 and verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Sorry, I've given the wrong one there. Well, yes, we certainly should be. And we are, and that's what he's working in us. Matthew 6, there isn't a 48, is there? I've got that wrong. I'm sorry about that. What I meant was in Matthew 6, I wanted to really take it up to finish off with from verse 33 and verse 34. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry. In other words, he's saying, don't confess in fear, anxiety, what the world is consumed and concerned about. Because that's what it does. That's what you say. When there is worry and fear and anxiety, it will come out and others will hear it. And that's what he's delivered us from. Because that hinders, that holds us back. Why is he so strong in that? Because they're everyday mundane things. And he doesn't want you held and consumed by that. And always praying him about those things, those trivial things. He's trying to release us and show us that things that pertain to the kingdom of God is far bigger and greater than all of those things. And even ourselves. We need to lift our eyes up and see a greater horizon before us. God's kingdom. That's the faith he wants of us to embrace. Because that is the message that we teach. As I close with this, our confession, led by the Holy Spirit, by God's word, is very, very important, because what we confess, what comes out of our mouths, decides whether it's the law of life or the law of death. You have that choice. You have that power to decide whether you want to confess the law of life, that life that is to be found in Christ Jesus, his word, or the law of death. In other words, confessing the God of this world who deceives and blinds most, who holds them in fear and bondage and lies and deceptions. Why is it we're still so keen to listen to that than the word of God that gives us life? This, brothers and sisters, explains our situations. It explains my situation, what I find myself in, or what is happening to me. Or why it is I still keep running to man, to the arm of the flesh, and not to God. This explains, it tells us. How do we know? Because I've already said, this is this spiritual thermometer. This is telling you about your spiritual temperature. So God's word is our confession. You have liberty, you have access, you have blessing to God's word. And not only do you have access to it, to confess it, to believe it, to harmonize your confession with it, but you also have the Holy Spirit who will also work in you both to will and do for his good pleasure as well, if you want it, if you let him. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you that we have heard a very important message, teaching. And Father, Forgive us and have mercy, Lord, that we are not always confessing our confession with the Word of God. It is not always lining up with your Word. And it could be fear, anxieties, worries, just plain unbelief or stubbornness. Hardness of heart, Lord, only you know. But Father, we ask in your mercy to unravel, to set us free where we are still held in whatever way. Because what is in our hearts, we will confess. But we want our hearts filled, nourished with your word, the word of life. We want to be influenced, persuaded. We want, Father, to confess your word over us every situation. Because your word divides light and darkness. Your word speaks healing and deliverance and wholeness to mankind. Your word saves people today, turning from their sin, turning away, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us, Lord, that we have lost sight of this. We've not made this a priority. We have compromised. We have looked to other things. Bring us back, we ask, Father, to our first love with regard to this. Help us, Lord, to believe with that simple childlike faith and not try to work it out how it can be done, how it can be achieved, how can I get healed, how can these bills be paid, how. Lord, we don't want that anymore. We want to come by your grace and mercy to a faith that Abraham had where he was fully persuaded. In other words, he was so influenced, so persuaded, there wasn't that doubt anymore. Father, please work this within our lives and hearts. And Father, if we hear from our lips that wrong confession, then Father, please bring it to our attention that we can repent, that we can place it under the blood of the Lamb so that the enemy does not have access in any way or form.